It is an honor to welcome our next guest, especially heading into Memorial Day weekend. A few years ago, at my friend Mark Slaby's Patriot Golf outing, handsome guy comes up to me with a big handshake, one of those handshakes that'll rip your arm off. And I realized that I had just had the honor of shaking the hand of General John Borling. General Borling is, well, he's more than an American war hero. He is a philanthropist. He is an author. And as a retired general of the United States Air Force of 37 years, it is an honor to welcome him to the program. General, good morning.
Steve, it's good to be with you. I didn't rip your arm off. We just had a firm, manly handshake.
You're right. What am I talking about?
We were playing golf. Maybe I wanted to injure you so I could make a dollar or two out there. Hey, Justin, Stephen.
It's a
real pleasure to be with you.
Well, that's nice.
You mentioned the significance of the timing, so.
Yeah, well, with Memorial Day weekend coming up, you know, I think we do a pretty good job on the show of recognizing and talking about service-related events and activities, and you know that our mutual friend Mark Slaby is going to be with us later in the hour to talk about an organization we both feel strong about.
The Patriot Education Fund is a wonderful thing that Mark and his wife Dana have started. You've been so generous with your time, Steve, supporting it over the years. So I look forward to seeing you out at Medina on the day after Memorial Day.
It's a great day, and we'll talk more about that later in the hour. But I want to talk about something you are very heavily involved with year after year after year, and that's the John Logan Memorial Day ceremony. What's the story here?
Well, 2018 is a significant year. You know, this is the 200th year of the Illinois recognition of statehood. It's also the 150th anniversary of Decoration Day / what we call it now Memorial Day. And it was established by Major General, I'm partial to Major Generals.
I bet you are.
John A. Logan, who was a Civil War general, distinguished Civil War general from Southern Illinois, in fact, credited with kind of keeping Illinois, that part of it anyway, in the Union. It wounded many times. After the war, he'd been a congressman before the war. After the war in 1868, as the head of the Grand Army of the Republic, which was kind of like the VFW American Legion all rolled into one, the Civil War group, he promulgated General Order 11, which established Decoration Day, and it stuck, and over the years there's been legislation back and forth, but General Logan's statue is at 900 South Michigan in Grant Park. Augustus St. Gaudens, the great memorial sculptor, did the piece. It was inaugurated in 1897. There were 250,000 people in the street on Michigan
Avenue.
How about that? Logan is the unsung hero of the 19th century. You know the three people that are named in the song, our state song, Illinois?
No, I do not.
Lincoln, Grant, and Logan.
How about that?
You know, we got in Chicago, Logan Square. There's Logan streets all over Illinois towns. Well, we gather at 11 o'clock. It's a free ceremony, open to the public, and commemorate Memorial Day.
But where do you meet, General? Is it at the statue itself?
We meet at the statue at 9th and Michigan. The public is welcome. There is a luncheon that follows. It's invitation only. You got to pay for that, and that's already booked and closed. We are we'd go to the Blackstone, and we are
that's a good problem to have.
Subscribe for that. The ceremony for an hour, including a formal wreath laying ceremony by all the services, by the first responders, by the Daughters of the American Revolution. This year, for the program that lasts about an hour, we will have the Chancellor of the Lincoln Academy of Illinois, Dr. Stephanie Pace Marshall, also a member of the Bicentennial Commission, talking about the significance of those activities. We will have Dr. Mark Depew, who's the head of oral history from the Abraham Lincoln Museum and Library down in Springfield, talking about the significance of World War One. You know, it's 100 years. It's the centennial of the conclusion of World War One, that terrible, terrible conflict that really shouldn't have ever happened and spawned so much more conflict in the 20th century.
Yeah, I mean, it was the tipping point, the domino that fell that set up all of the troubles, you could argue, from a historical standpoint.
Yeah, and you know how many people, just give you some numbers, how many soldiers on both sides were killed in World War One. Any idea what the number might be?
Not a clue.
10 million.
How about that? And think about the population of the world 100 years ago. That is a huge number.
And 16 million wounded. That's just World War One. I mean, the carnage of the 20th century that we've lived through has been
astounding
for the human condition. But we gather because of the seriousness of it to commemorate our war dead on Memorial Day. And then, by the way, not to interrupt you, but the last speaker will be, because it is the 150th anniversary of the promulgation by General Logan of the day, we'll have Mrs. Logan.
Excuse me?
We have Mrs. Logan.
Based on John Logan's age, that's a neat trick.
She was very young when they married. Actually, she was 16, and he was like 15 or 16 years her senior, and it was an arranged marriage. Her father, the judge, had almost promised her from a child to this hero, and it was an amazing marriage. They had three children, all of whom they did well. One died early, but Mrs. Logan was a woman of letters. Ended up after living in Washington many years, dying in 1922 in Chicago. So we have a reenactor.
Oh, very cool.
B.A. Church, and she's going to come in character and tell us some insights about the Logans from the wife's standpoint. So this is going to be excellent, Steve.
Well, I mean, it sounds fantastic, and it's one of the many things that you contribute a tremendous amount of time to in a lifetime of practicing service over self. But one of the things, we got to take a break, and we come back, one of the things I want to talk to you about is your close friendship with another military young man and the great Senator John McCain, because you share a history that none of us can identify with in both being longstanding POWs. So if you can hang with us 1 second, General, we'll do a break. We'll come back.
Absolutely.
All right, more with General John Borling in just a second.
This is 720 WGN Chicago.
General John Borling is with us, a fighter pilot in the Vietnam War. He gets shot down by ground fire, seriously injured. I think he may have even broken his back. So you know what he did, Dave? He got up and tried to commandeer a Vietnamese vehicle so he could drive out of there.
Wow.
About that. Wow. And I believe, General Borling, I don't want to commandeer your line, but I believe I've heard you say this before. That's when your stay started?
Well, I couldn't walk, and I was in deep, and there was no, it was rescue or give up, or there was no chance of rescue, give up, or try to do something rash to get out. So I tried to hijack this truck and did, as you remarked, but it was a truck full of North Vietnamese regular troops. So it was a management decision of some considerably bad proportion, but
unbelievable.
I was substantially outgunned, if you will.
Sure.
So then that started that long period back, way back when.
How long were you a POW?
A little over 6.5 years.
Is your friendship with Senator McCain based on this incredibly unique club you were both in, or did you know each other prior?
In large measure, you allude to it, and people are still fascinated by that period. I was privileged to serve with some extraordinary fellow aviators who stood up under incredible pressures and terrible treatment, especially in the early years, and in a manner that it wasn't about survival, Steve. It was about survival with honor. We wanted you guys to be proud of us, and we wanted to be true to ourselves. And it was in that period of years that later on, when they put us in larger groups, that I did live with Senator McCain. And obviously, we relied on one another, all of us, and became close. And the sharing of that experience has formed bonds that endure over the years.
Throughout life,
on a personal and professional basis. But that doesn't mean you go lockstep down the road with guys, but you have this bond that can't be broken by a difference of opinion here and there on an issue or whatever. Mm-hmm. So, as you know, he's He's battling serious illness, and the prognosis is not good, but he's a fighter. God knows we're all fighters, aren't we? Wish him and his family well out there, but he's hanging out and working the problem in Arizona.
So. Well, and I know you're in regular contact with him, so I hope you'll continue to give him our best. By the way, General Borling was in captivity, he wrote, I couldn't even tell you how many poems, but I would highly recommend Taps on the Walls, poems from the Hanoi Hilton.
You know, you're pushing the book. I wrote it in my mind. We didn't have anything to write with, so I just kept, created and wrote it in the mind. Hey, what comes to mind, though, I don't want to leave your listeners, your adoring public, and I say that seriously. You're an institution in Chicagoland, and we thank you for that. But this Memorial Day ceremony is more than speeches. There's going to be music. There's going to be wreath laying. You're going to come away inspired.
We want a huge crowd.
So 11 o'clock at the Logan Statue at 900 South Michigan. Everyone's invited. Come and take part in something meaningful on Memorial Day weekend. We invite everyone. And at a later time, I think we're going to be short here on talk time, but I'd love to come back and talk to you about Service Over Self America.
Oh, you are welcome here anytime, you know that. But in relation to what you just said, Justin has a question.
Hi, General.
Sure.
I'm interested in the contrast as someone who has served his country and has given so much to his country, and this being the Memorial Day holiday, and the way that America right now views this as sometimes a barbecue weekend with a three-day holiday, and they don't necessarily think about the memorial part of this weekend. Talk about that contrast of thinking about your experience and your fallen comrades and the way that this country views Memorial Day.
When they did the consolidation of holidays, they tried to do it with Armistice Day or Veterans Day, too. And then there was a great rebellion, if you will. So it stays on the 11th of November, which was the conclusion, all quiet on the Western Front of the First World War. But the other holidays got mashed into these three-day weekends for convenience sake and economy sake. And I think we have lost the symbology and the importance of honoring our war dead. It kind of gets mixed up in people's enjoyment, legitimate enjoyment of family and neighborhood and activities. But all over America, there are Memorial Day ceremonies. So we haven't lost it. It just becomes a little more inconvenient sometimes for people to observe what should be a very solemn moment. So and day. So we ask them to take off an hour or two in the course of Memorial Day, the 28th this year, Monday, and be contemplative. Just a moment to yourself, looking out over the landscape, wherever you happen to be, and remember what it cost for us to have what we have. We should fall down on our knees every day and thank the Lord we're Americans.
God bless.
But it's a fight that goes on. It's not a military fight necessarily. Unfortunately, we'll have a lot of those if human history is any indicator. But it's a matter that we as citizens need to commit ourselves to those shared values and experiences that keep us free. It's freedom and responsibility, liberty and duty. That's the deal. That's the deal if we're Americans. And it takes every generation to keep marching.
Amen.
To keep America going. Because, we are not a done deal. We are never a done deal.
And part of the effort of that is, and we'll continue this conversation with Mark Slaby coming up, but you and I couldn't be bigger believers in the Patriot Education Fund, as we talked about earlier. We're going to get together next week. There's still a few foursomes available for this, and I'd love for people listening to jump in and be sponsors. And if you can't make it on Tuesday, if you can sponsor a foursome, we've got military vets we can put in those groups to have a day of golf and fellowship and a great dinner and know that this is what the general's talking about. We're paying it forward, and we're taking care of the educational needs that the gaps in the GI Bill don't take care of. And it's just a fabulous day, General. I think you agree.
Well, I think, you got 2 days. You got the 28th, Memorial Day, and you can be at Grant Park, 9th and Michigan, at 11 o'clock. And then you can, and I hope Mark talks about the opportunity that you just talked about the next day of making some substantial contribution to, as you say, paying it forward for people that have served honorably, and now we're going to give them a push so they can continue to contribute to this great nation of ours.
It is an honor to have you on, I consider you a friend, though we don't get the chance to see each other very often. And
well, we live out of town, but I'm in all the time, and I'm going to come in and camp on your microphone there.
You are welcome.
We'll talk about SOS America then. How's that?
I would appreciate that very much, and please say hi to your lovely wife and family, and thank you, General.
Thanks, General.
Steve, Justin, thank you. Bye-bye.
General John Borling.